Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennett's Green.
Always great to have Associate Professor of Politics from the University of Newcastle, Jim Joe, slipping into the studio this morning. You're a little bit more happy with the temperature today than yesterday, aren't you?
Very pleasant at the moment, Todd.
It is. Very functional temperature, I find, today.
Yes.
Nice indeed. Okay, a few months ago, probably about 4 or 5 months ago now, it was announced the New South Wales State Government, on the back of the reports of the mass greyhound graves and the reports of live baiting, said that's it. The greyhound industry is closed, kaput, shut up, 12 months' time, it's all over Red Rover. So much pressure has been brought to bear. So I thought we'd have a chat this morning about our political leaders changing their mind, and when does a mind change become a backflip, and how does the electorate respond to that?
Well, it's difficult to give a definitive answer to that, Todd, because a change of mind is always a backflip, and a backflip is always a change of mind. However, how that becomes embedded, if you like, in the public consciousness, in the voters' perceptions, is another matter. And there are a number of things, I think, that we need to sort of think about. We want our leaders to make decisions.
Well, that's what they're there for.
As reasonably quickly, but considered decisions. Now, when a decision backfires, it all, by definition, becomes an ill-considered decision, a poor decision. But the degree to which we can consider a decision backfiring is in part a matter of perception. And the measure, if you like, is the degree of opposition that the decision arouses, the degree of resistance publicly that it might arouse. And it may not be a level of resistance that's numerically large, but politically large.
Yeah, politically, and the feeling as well. There was a time where people were regarded as they've made a decision, they're going to stick with it, even though they think it's wrong. And there was a period of time where that was considered strength. Now, I think we've changed a lot where a smart person, a man or a woman, says, listen, I made that decision, but the situation has changed, the thoughts have changed, and I'm not afraid to say that I may have been wrong in that decision. But a backflip is generally considered a wrong decision and a decision made by a weak leader, as opposed to a change of mind, isn't it?
Well, that's often how it ends up being represented by the political opponents. Let's say a premier or a prime minister makes decision X. If there's a huge groundswell of public opposition, then a wise leader would go, hang on a second, maybe this was not the best decision, and then develop a strategy around changing that decision. If that is seen as a positive, and a range of media managers are able to project that as a positive, then the leader is seen as sensible, as wise, as someone who listens to
a sage leader.
On the other hand, if a leader makes a decision, or a party makes a decision in government, and then suddenly changes its mind as a result of various forms of pressure, depending on who wins and who loses, they may then find themselves being represented as fickle, as unable to stick to a decision, as weak. The way in which this happens is sort of mysterious in some respects.
It's a dark art, isn't it?
Because you don't quite know who's pressing which buttons, who's bringing which level of pressure to bear.
I think the term you're looking for is flip-flopping, and I suppose the length of time that you've been looking at politics and it's been in your life, I think we now, they used to talk about the 24-hour news cycle, but that is gone. That's not even the 12-hour or the 6-hour. Do you think politicians are under more pressure now to make decisions on the fly and quicker, because they know in half an hour they're going to be pressed again, in half an hour they're going to be pressed again, as opposed to years gone by where they could at least take a day or two to have a think about it, because they knew the cameras weren't going to be outside the door till then?
Well, yes, let me say two things. The first is, yes, there is that continual cycle where they, you know, the spotlight's on them continuously, so they need to be seen as on the front foot all the time, making decisions and being seen to make those decisions. However, the second thing that I would say to that is, we used, way back around Federation time, back at the late 19th century, early 20th century, the Premier of New South Wales at the time was prevaricating about whether he would support Federation. And he was known as Flip-Flop Reed, because one day he would be in favour and the next day he wouldn't be. So he would flip from one side to the other. So leaders not making up their minds or appearing to be indecisive, not a new phenomenon. And the idea that some decisions are sort of made, premiers and prime ministers sometimes like to make half a decision and push the decision a little and sort of say, well, I'm leaning this way. I think this
so
is
they're testing the water, basically.
Yes. Now, unfortunately, sometimes leaders get a rush of blood and they suddenly make a decision that seems to come from nowhere in particular. Like, for example, Bob Hawke's decision after Tiananmen Square. He basically said all Chinese students living here can stay here, sort of thing, because he wanted to be seen.
Yeah, but he also gave everyone the day off after we won the America's Cup as well.
Yes. Sometimes these have little consequence, but other decisions can have serious long-term consequences, and sometimes leaders tend to jump in too quickly. That's why their advisors are around them, to try and sort of restrain them a little. But often it's not always easy for advisors to get to their leader and say, look, let's take a few minutes to think about this. Let's
breathe.
Ask the journalist to put this one on hold and we'll get back to them. So there's, I guess, to sort of just to wrap this up, Todd, leaders are expected to make decisions, and we would hope that if a leader makes a poor call, a bad decision, that they are able to step back from it and say, look, that was a bad decision, or I made a mistake, etc. Now, it's very risky when a leader says, I made a mistake, because their political opponents will try to exploit that for all it's worth. Some leaders are very, very good at being able to own up to a mistake and be seen as really fantastic. Other leaders have found themselves in deeper water. I think if we sort of look at a couple of prime ministers in recent times, they've sort of suffered from both sides of that equation.
One of the things we do know is the politicians don't like using the W word in any way, shape or form. Jim, thanks very much for your time this morning. It's going to be interesting,
Todd,
to see whether the Premier does come out and say he was wrong.
Hasty, I think, might be a better way of explaining
fabulous
it.
Word. More haste, less speed.
2NURFM 103.7.